This is your tech news briefing for Monday, December 7th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. After years of off and on talks, Salesforce confirmed last week that it's agreed to buy the workplace communication tool Slack for $27.7 billion. On today's show, reporter Aaron Tilley will be here to break down why the deal came together now and how Salesforce could use Slack to help position itself, even after the pandemic is over. That's after these headlines. We report that Google is deciding whether to impose penalties on IAC Interactive Corp over what the search giant concluded were deceptive marketing practices by the online conglomerate. That's according to documents reviewed by The Wall Street Journal and people familiar with the matter. Google's concern with IAC centers on browser extensions. Those are external applications that run inside Google's Chrome browser. Google investigators found that IAC's extensions often promise functions they don't deliver and steer users towards extra ads. Google's report recommended the immediate removal and deactivation of IAC's browser extensions. IAC, under Chairman Barry Diller, is pushing back. A spokeswoman disputed the finding, and IAC said that removing the extensions would devastate a critical part of its business. As of yet, Google hasn't acted on the internal recommendation. People familiar with the matter say that's in part because Google and IAC compete in some categories, and executives are concerned that any penalties could be viewed as anti-competitive. You might remember, federal prosecutors sued Google earlier this year for allegedly operating a monopoly in search, and state officials are wrapping up their own investigations. Google has said it would contest any allegations in court. More Google news. A prominent artificial intelligence researcher, Timnit Gebru, says she was fired from the company after she refused to retract a research paper and complained about the company in an email to other staff members. In the email, Gebru said that Google executives had squelched her research and ignored her feedback on issues like the proportion of female employees in the company. In his own email to staff, Google's head of AI said that an internal team had determined that Gebru's research was insufficiently rigorous. He also said that Gebru, who is Black, had encouraged colleagues not to participate in Google's diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, and that he was disappointed about that. There are a lot of questions about what exactly happened here, and Google hasn't commented publicly. Our reporter Rob Copeland says, in recent years, the company has struggled with its fractious workforce and has been taking more steps to curb political speech inside the company. Here's Rob.
Timnit Gebru is a very well-known liberal scientist, and Google and really all of Silicon Valley has typically been a place that's been pretty easy to be a left-leaning employee. Google, in particular, has been a place that tolerates and even encourages a lot of infighting and big debates in the workplace, but over the past maybe year, they've been really cutting down on political debates. So to the extent that you view her research as a political debate, this is definitely part of the same trend.
And we report that Airbnb plans to boost the proposed price range of its initial public offering to between $56 and $60 a share, up from $44 to $50 a share. That's according to people familiar with the matter. The new range would give the home rental company a valuation of as much as $42 billion. Meanwhile, the food delivery company DoorDash is planning to price its shares at the high end of or even above its already increased range of $90 to $95 a share. That's according to people familiar with that offering. The new range would give DoorDash a valuation of as much as $36 billion or more. Both companies are set to go public this week, and the news is being seen as the latest sign that the red-hot IPO market will be ending the year on a high note. All right, coming up after the break, we take a closer look at the proposed deal between Slack and Salesforce and what it could mean for the business of business software. That's next. Last week, Salesforce confirmed that it had agreed to buy Slack for $27.7 billion. The deal still has to go through some regulatory hoops, but if it does go through, it'll be Salesforce's largest acquisition ever, and it'll turn the combined company into one of the biggest players in the business software market. Well, 2020 has been a year of widespread remote work, making these company services more critical than ever. The pandemic won't last forever, and their long-term success will depend on how Salesforce positions itself for the post-pandemic world. Our reporter Aaron Tilley joins me now to talk more about this. Aaron, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So I want to start with a little bit of history. One thing that both Slack and Salesforce have historically had in common is competition with Microsoft, a really big player in the business software space. What has competition looked like between these companies and Microsoft?
Yeah, so Salesforce, they've been, for their history since they started in 1999, they've been waxing and waning between partner and enemy with Microsoft throughout that entire history. And they're competing along a very kind of slim areas of product, this thing called CRM, Customer Relationship Management Software. It's basically software that helps your salespeople sell to their customers, sell to their clients. And so Microsoft does a whole lot more than that, but that is Salesforce's bread and butter. And in recent years, that competition has really been ramping up. Microsoft has been putting a lot more effort into their CRM software, and that has caused a lot of tensions between these two companies. This is especially came to a head when both of those companies were trying to acquire LinkedIn in 2016. That was the big professional networking company, and both had this vision of connecting CRM and this professional network together, using all that, harvesting all that data and making better sales tools. And so Microsoft won out, and Salesforce was very mad. They made claims about antitrust violations. Those never went anywhere, but they made them, and those were quite serious.
And Slack and Microsoft have also had a bit of a fiery relationship.
Yeah, Slack has, since the beginning, been sort of the anti-Microsoft, your alternative to how you run your business over email. You get on Slack and it's this new platform. It's more dynamic. It's faster moving. It's more modern than anything Microsoft has. And for Microsoft, that is a serious threat to their core business. So naturally, they panic when they see Slack take off. At first, they try to buy the company. They were rebuffed, and then they build their competitor, which is Teams. And Teams has been building up over the years. And just over the past year, during COVID times, it's really exploded. And Microsoft has really made it a successful product by focusing it not just on chat-based product like Slack is, but also sort of chat and video and everything you need to collaborate. And that has been really key during the pandemic time. So they've really taken advantage of that, whereas Slack has kind of fallen by the wayside. And during all that, Slack has also made antitrust complaints themselves. These are more formal than Salesforce ever made, but they made a formal complaint to the EU and in the European markets that Microsoft was abusing its power to push Teams, the Teams product. So now Salesforce is taking on that big competitive product with Microsoft.
And we should note, Microsoft denied the allegations in the EU and has said that it's working with regulators there. In any case, so Salesforce and Slack have been exploring a deal for years before coming up with this one. What finally gave?
So the two had been talking for years, like Salesforce and its CEO, Marc Benioff. He's always very connected with a lot of Silicon Valley executives. And they tried to invest in the company for years. And Slack always told them, no, you know, we don't accept corporate money. And also Slack was just so popular and growing so fast, every investor wanted them and they didn't need it. It just didn't make sense. So now it finally makes sense to give in to Salesforce. And the reason that is, I think you're hearing from a lot of analysts, a lot of onlookers, that this competition with Microsoft Teams is really starting to hurt them. So I think they're at a vulnerable place right now. And they have to partner up with a bigger guy in order to sort of figure out a future under Microsoft Teams.
Right. So a lot of tech companies have really benefited from our new kind of remote realities, but it sounds like Slack has not really been able to capitalize as much as some of the others have.
Yeah, for sure. Slack has been growing during this era, during this time, but it has not been growing as quickly as a lot of the other sort of companies you'd expect to benefit from the remote work period. And a lot of analysts, a lot of people on Wall Street thought that Slack would benefit too from this time, but they really haven't to the same degree, not nearly to the same degree that others have, such as DocuSign or especially Zoom, Microsoft Teams, or, you know, even if we're talking outside of remote work, you know, Amazon, of course, they really haven't done as well. And they're kind of in a vulnerable place right now with all these high expectations that they weren't able to meet.
And so this is strategic for Slack, but what about for Salesforce? What does Slack really bring to the table for them?
Throughout the years, Mark Benioff, the CEO of Salesforce, has tried to expand the company into new areas, reach new types of customers. Really, its core customer of the salesperson or the marketing person, that's really what it touches inside companies. And it's trying to expand that customer base, the kinds of people that would use its products. And it's tried a number of things over the years. Back in 2010, it launched this product called Chatter, which is its own private social network for enterprises. That went nowhere. They bought a Super Bowl ad for it. They bought this company called Quip for document collaboration. So they've tried to expand. It just hasn't gone anywhere. But what Slack does is they're buying an established platform with a big customer base, and they can use that to, you know, establish themselves in new markets with new types of customers. And that's really what they're doing, is expanding their addressable market. And this certainly gets them there.
So, you know, hopefully the pandemic won't last forever. How can we expect Salesforce to use Slack to position itself for a post-pandemic world?
Yeah, what we've heard from the company as far as the post-pandemic world is that, you know, during this time, it's been sort of this, they call it, you know, digital transformation. Every business needs to figure out their tech strategy, how they sell their customers in a more tech-focused way. How do they sort of rebuild their business that is more technology-focused? And they think, and a lot of people have said this, this is really a more permanent shift in the market. It's we're not going back in a lot of ways to the previous ways of doing things. So this is a pretty permanent change, and the winners are being decided now. So, you know, take advantage of a moment to buy a pretty established player that maybe wasn't doing so well, but you can buy this player that could really help you address a lot of these bigger business challenges like collaboration.
So we started at the beginning by talking about these companies' relationship with Microsoft, again, sort of a big player in the space. If Salesforce and Slack go ahead with this deal, could the combined company have an edge on Microsoft?
With Slack, Salesforce is able to compete with Microsoft more broadly. And I think that'll be useful strategically in terms of just keeping their CRM product competitive. And if they want to keep competing with Microsoft, I think they're going to have to keep buying more companies, or, you know, maybe even organically build their own products. But, you know, Microsoft Teams has really taken advantage by the moment by evolving their collaboration product. And so with Slack, Salesforce is going to have to keep evolving that product. They can't stand still. They're going to have to expand into other areas like video conferencing, probably, and more document collaboration, file sharing, all those things that Microsoft does really well. If they want to keep competing there, they're going to have to keep expanding.
All right. Our reporter, Aaron Tilley, thanks so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That's it for today's Tech News Briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.